All right. Welcome to episode 14 of the Jimson and Roscoe Show. My name is Roscoe. This is Jimson. Today we are joined by Noodles.
Yes.
Come on.
Yep, yep.
You said earlier that podcasts fell after five episodes.
I think the first five or six.
70% of podcasts ever after five. So we're on 14 now, so we're doing good.
You're doing good, you're doing 14. Good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
14.
I just well said that.
Noodles, three good things that happened to you today.
Oh, fucking cheese on toast. That strawberry Korean stuff Nico had last week. I don't know. That's it. I haven't had a drink yet. I ain't had a zoo. I'm like, not even with it. It's just one of them days. Being here.
Nice.
Nice.
So, what have you been up to musically? I know you're fucking busy at the moment, man.
All sorts going on.
Obviously, we've been doing things together recently.
Yeah.
But, did you have a gap in between that? Because I know you're fucking fully on it at the moment. So like,
well, not really.
Where have you been? What have you been doing? What's got you back into it?
I sort of just, I don't know, Amari, One Soul, I got him to thank for that. He sort of just came up and he's like, well, your Noodles, Demoras, yeah, back in the day. And I was like, yeah. He's like, I want to record you. And I was like, yeah, cool, let's go do a track. So I went to his house, done a track. That turned into three tracks. A week later, we're doing an EP.
Yeah. Mm.
Now, I'm like, yeah, cool, we've got a fucking EP. We're one of the best producers in Bristol. I'm happy with myself here. And he's an amazing singer as well. So I sort of just like, I don't know, we thought about floating it across a few labels. And then Crazy's like, do you want to put it out on Wordlife? And I was like, yeah, just put it out on Wordlife. Yeah, it makes sense anyway, because me and Crazy know each other.
So for anyone listening or watching, that EP is out. You can stream that on all platforms. Babylon Pressure,
yeah.
And yeah, that
Noodles
is...
on One Soul, that's out there.
That is out there on all platforms.
Nice.
So for people who don't know you, let's go back. Like, let's go back way back.
How did you get into it?
Because you were skateboarding and like, tell the people.
I think that they both with me sort of came hand in hand. Like, I was born in Doncaster, I moved to Bath when I was a kid, grew up in like Larkhall, Snow Hill area. There was a place called Number 3, Caribbean Cafe, Reds from Splashdown Crew, dancehall guy, DJ Ramjack, everyone knows him, jungle guy. Mm-hmm. Flash, if you're from Bath, everyone knows who Flash is. If you're
big up
music.
Flash.
Big that's, up Flash, love.
That's what, that was my first mentor.
So
man.
They were the first sort of people who was recording me, do you know what I mean? And it was probably drum and bass mixtapes. And then Squenny and Raph took me to Chris Wilkie, C-Double, who had a studio at the time.
Mm.
So I was 15 making my first CD with Chris and an American
Snow on the
accent.
Hill, right?
No, it was even before then. That was, I did an EP, Noodles MC, I think I called it.
Yeah.
And it was just five songs that I've been going around ever since trying to destroy those CDs if I find out anyone's got them.
Like, do you know, my, like the TZ CDs. Yeah, mate. So the other day, like, Gio, he sent me some fucking footage of it. I was like, mate, he's like, do you want it? I was like, yeah, give that back to me. That's the same. I'm like 40
years
like,
delete, go around people's houses trying to hack
their
computers.
Shudders,
It's horrible, isn't it?
I hear you, mate, I hear you.
But no, some other people listen to it, they're like, it's fucking amazing. And you're like, it's really hot, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's terrible. But nah, yeah, so C-Double. And then obviously I went pro. I was skating from like 15 to early 20s. But I was always rapping anyway. Mm. I was always an MC. And part of a B-boy crew called Rolling Like Kings. We had breakers, skaters, riders.
So wait. You were a pro skater?
Yeah.
Shit, I didn't know that.
Did you not know that?
Nah. That's mad.
Yeah. Well, like semi... Well, yeah, I didn't have a pro board out or a pro shoe, but I earned money from skateboarding.
Yeah,
and
sick.
I was in all the magazines and videos and whatnot, do you know what I mean?
So yeah, sick, man.
Done a lot of that, had a lot of sponsors, went all over Europe and... Skated a lot of places, man. Spent a lot of time in France and Italy, and you know, don't regret a bit of it. But
done my
foot in my early 20s fighting some squaddies in London, and that was the end of my skating career, really. Broke my foot in six places, and that, do you know what I mean? So,
were you always writing as well?
I'd always made hip hop through that, but
the graph writers, well?
Yeah,
still writing
that's
them
just
with
hand in hand with me, man. I've always been a writer. Like,
so were you like from way back when you were like a kid, then was like art always your thing? Like, were you artistic as a small child?
I think so, yeah. Like, I remember getting a double tape deck and recording I had this weird tape deck that somehow would allow me to record vocals over the top of instrumentals and just record it onto a tape. And it was, that was my thing. So I'd spend like a week trying to like record one verse with this rewind record flipping tape deck thing. And it was, you know, and it's all really terrible. And I'm like, listen to this, like showing my brother and that, it's crap. You know what I mean? So like, go cry and then write another one. And then, so when I actually got my hands on real recording equipment, I was all over it, do you know what I mean? Straight in the deep end. But I think I was like Wu-Tang and Snoop Dogg influenced, so I'm all like, everyone, when you like that, you try and be American, and it sort of hits you that, nah, you can't.
That's why like the youth now, coming through, because they've got so many influences of like
British influences.
Yeah, because for me it was like sort of like, what would have I been? 2001, 2002 would have been like Black Twang, Rodney Pitt.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, what are these guys are fucking like speaking like here?
Yeah, hip hop.
Do you mean? And then that was
so
like
relevant then, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was like, wow. Everything before that, it was like, fuck you, like you said.
And the, I think a lot of like British people were putting on American accents.
Well, they were trying, all of that. Like,
but it was like, I think what really broke it, there was Twang, Roots Maneuver,
Klashnikov.
When they had the thing, well, the MTV base. Then later, with Channel U, when Klashnikov had Murder.
Yeah.
Skinny Man.
Yeah, Skinny Man, Council Catch the State of Mind. Task Force.
Yeah.
57th Dynasty. I think they had one American in there, though, as well. And they all did try to sound a bit but they were still Brixton, so big up 57.
But then London Posse as well. Like, London Posse was like, what, 90s?
80s, man, they started.
Yeah, but they're
early, but they had British, they were British accents.
But I don't think they were as white, because the thing with what Twang and that went widespread is because it was MTV based, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a new day. Like, we were consuming videos.
He was
signed
to Def Jam as well, wasn't he?
Nah, he wouldn't sign to Def Jam, but like.
Because I know he bust Estelle, didn't it?
Yeah, that was
Trickster, wasn't it?
Yeah, I remember seeing her about in London in her red tracksuit, Adidas tracksuit, thinking she's a bad gal up in Ruby Low when I was MCing at like 17, and Estelle and all her girls are all there like being bad, and then suddenly she's in New York with Kanye, like.
That's mad, isn't it?
Trying to change his film proper, and it's like, I know you now. You know what I mean? Real talk, man. She was there. A lot of them girls, wild flower and temper as well, but they never really blew, did it? They just sort of probably went off and had kids and did their thing, do you know what I mean? But Estelle went America and took it the full hog, didn't she? Do you know what I mean?
It's like a lot of these things in life, don't it? It's like right place, right time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's just like, it's more luck than anything, because there's a load of like so many sick artists that just kind of remain on that realm of just...
Could have got it that extra bit, but didn't, because they didn't put the work in or whatever reason, or had babies. You know, life happens to people, doesn't it? You can't be young and shining forever, can you?
Exactly.
So this is it.
But you know what? I think that's one of the beauties about genres like hip-hop, jazz, those kind of like genres where you've got a lot of culture ingrained into it and a lot of like more than just like a general pop.
It's like a way of life.
There's there's no age on it.
No,
you
know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, if you're in it for like, it's something you love doing, it's something you always love doing, there is no fucking age limit.
There is no age limit, you're right. It's like me, and I know probably you, we've gone past the point of, oh, I should stop rapping now or put that down. It's like, no.
Yeah.
Man's been on this thing for 25 years. It's what I do. I'm not going to stop.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I might, you know, probably still be putting out an album in my late 40s, whatever, 50s, do you know what I mean?
If
I'm, God willing.
Jay-Z released Reasonable Doubt at 28, didn't he?
At 28.
Yeah, his first album, 28.
What's he now? He's got to be in his 50s, right?
Yeah, 50 years.
Yeah. Look at Pete and Baz as well, those drill boys.
Who is it's writing all their stuff? It's Double Edge and that, I think, innit?
Yeah, someone's writing
someone like that is writing all their stuff. But yeah, I think they're legends.
Yeah, funny, man.
Yeah. Did I tell you who was that? Like, Canadian Dad Raps. Have you. Not Raps, Reacts. Have you seen him?
No.
So just like fucking some Canadian geezer, like some like older guy, and he's just like, he's pushing UK hip hop. All he does is reaction videos.
Right.
Yeah.
And like anything that's coming out of the UK, and like he's just fucking on it. He loves UK hip hop. He's just like the gnarlier the better.
Yeah.
He just sits there, he just breaks it down, and he's like, he's
sick.
Just doing his thing, man. Do you mean?
Yes.
Because I remember like it was Mike Skinner, wasn't it? Remember when he said like, UK hip hop, or like it will never go anywhere. It's just fucking, do you mean? I can't remember what the exact words he said. Like, then like you look at like fucking High Focus, they took it somewhere, man. Do you know what I mean?
Well, they are, they
like,
still are.
Still are, but like, like something that was just like, like boom bap fucking bedroom. Yeah. Like there was no like structure. And, like flip tricks.
Up you, Mike Skinner. You know what I mean? Comment, mate.
They said though, like if you look at like rap at the moment, yeah, you've got all of this like kind of the melodic stuff where you kind of don't know what they're saying all the time, and it don't really.
Got
auto tune
on it and all that.
He's like, but if you look at like real rap, yeah, who are the top rappers or top artists in the world? They're all still rapping.
Mm. Yeah, they're all still doing that good
Drake,
stuff,
fucking Kendrick, J. Cole. They're all rapping. Do you know what I mean?
And J. Cole is like, even though he's got like a more of like a faster speed, he's still very boom bappy in his essence. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Real, yeah, man. Definitely.
But it's I was thinking about this earlier, and I was like about purists and evolution and how both are good, and like people who are evolving shouldn't disrespect purists, but the purists at the same time shouldn't disrespect the
just
evolution.
Just accept
they've taken something from. Do you mean it's like a two-way respect?
Yeah.
It's where it gets trivial online, isn't it? When you see the comment sections of like.
Well, there's just different types of fans of hip hop, isn't there? Yeah. Especially in this country, like you know. You go to a gig show or King Aggie, and it's going to be gang.
Yeah.
Right? You go to, like, a High Focus show, and it's loads of, like, geeky kiddies in hoodies holding onto their backpacks. Like, looking up at the... Like,
and then you go to H, and there's bare little girl.
You've got your different, like, pocket groups of fans, do you know what I mean?
Did you hear about the T-Pain thing?
No.
That was quite interesting. So T-Pain came out recently and said that he's been in a 10-year depression because about 10 years ago, he was on a plane, right, in first class, asleep, and our hostess came, woke him up and went, Usher is on the back. He wants to talk to you. And he was like... sick, like Usher wants to speak to me, because it was like just as he was blowing up with like I'm Sprung and shit like that. So he's gone to the back and Usher's like, yes, come sit down. He sat down and he's like, he's like, he sat down and he's like, you ruined music.
Well, Usher said that to him.
You have ruined music for real singers. I was like, wow, man. But he can sing. Like, yeah, T-Pain can actually sing. And like, then the whole argument after that was like, you know, like think how many real singers bust after T-Pain. Loads of them. So fuck, it's just nonsense. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, imagine that, sleeping, minding your own business, and then Usher tells you you ruined music.
Yeah. But it's like, again, it's like evolution. It's like the people want what the people want.
Yeah.
And that's again coming back to hip hop. That's why I think hip hop's so good, because there's still that base of it. That is there and fucking all
for real,
Do you know what I mean? And you can have all these like things that go in and out of fashion. Or maybe it won't go out of fashion. Maybe in like fucking 20 years' time, people will be looking back on fucking auto tune type drill or whatever, or being like, or whatever, and they'll be like,
you do notice that every few years there's a different sort of style. I've noticed in the UK quite a lot lately. Like my mate T5, who's, you know, Tyler, he's recording at the moment, and I've watched his style change, and now he's, you know, he's on this jail rap thing, and he's really good at what he's doing, and sick vocal content. But this is it, and I'm like, well, that weren't it 2 years ago, and in 2 years it's not going to be it. And he's like, but you have to evolve with the times. It's like, you don't.
You
just have to be you.
I think the trouble with that is that you're you're always playing catch up to something that someone's done.
Yeah, someone's done.
Like, and you're not being you.
No, you're not.
And if you're making something that's timeless, you can just carry on fucking making that, because it is timeless. Do you know what I mean? It's so. Yeah, 100%.
And
agree
people
on
like Nas, he ain't never gonna get old. Do you know what I mean? And he still raps like he did.
Exactly.
Yeah.
For and Jay Z, anyway. Even though like Jay Z as well, like he legend. Still raps how he raps, but even though he might, the beats might change.
Yeah,
slightly.
Yeah.
But it's still the same. It is what it is. I remember hearing that once. It was like, you don't go and buy fucking someone else's CD who sounds like Jay Z. You buy the Jay Z CD.
Yeah.
Because you want Jay Z.
Yeah.
You don't go and buy someone else who sounds like Dizzy Rascal. You know, you go and buy the Dizzy Rascal. I think that's the hardest part of being an artist in fucking any shape or form, whether it's just whether it's a singer, rapper, painter, whatever. It's how quickly you find your voice in it.
Yeah.
How quickly you find you.
Yeah.
Style don't just evolve like that. It takes time, innit?
It takes those fucking early fucking shit CDs that we all fucking banished from the world, you know?
This is it.
So then, like, what about after that then? So after the skating, did you get more heavily involved?
In hip hop, well, I was in London and obviously I was up to no good. I was just a naughty boy, wasn't I? Because I just loved that lifestyle and I was used to free booze and free drugs and free everything. And when that got took away from me, I was like, well, I still want it. So I was out in London taking it and I got quite heavily involved with like FLIP, Flip Set, Flip, Crucial Flip, which was like Nova, Wordsmith, me, Yayo, Saint. A few other rappers and some bad stuff when I was living in Camden went down. People died, a friend of theirs died, my family got the blame for it. This is all years ago, so I had to duck out of London. And that situation followed me around for years, but what it did, it made me come back to Bristol where I was safe. Do you know what I mean? I'm known in the ends from day and people that looked after me. Do you know what I mean? Next thing I know, I've got a crackhead knocking on my door going, I'm not being funny, Noodles, but there's 10 Somalians at the front line with about 10 grand offering money for your address right now. I was like, whoa. He's like, don't worry, no one's told them nothing. They've got jogged on. And it was like, but those men, those people actually came for me to take my life in Bristol. But from that, I felt like Bristol kind of held me. I was I'm safe here. Like, the streets just done saved me here, you know what I'm saying? And it was a very real situation. Like.
Yeah, that's love, man. Do you know what I mean? It's like fucking when someone like fucking turning
especially when you're a crackhead and they're offering you 10 grand.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when you're in that lifestyle, you ain't got fuck all money and someone's like, here's 10 grand, all I want is his address.
Yeah. Never got me, man.
That's love.
That man could have turned me in for a handful of cash right then. Yeah. And I would have got bodied, but you know, and then I sort of felt, I thought, you know what, like Bristol sort of held me. So big up Bristol, big up the ends for that, man. You know what I'm saying? Come on.
Yeah.
Why?
So they, is that like when you were like, sort of like, when did you start making music with Crazier now then?
Oh, that happened about...
Was that later?
Well, no, so I started making Bailey's Brown, who was Descriptive, D-Green, my friend. We started a crew called Dem or Us, me, him and Mac and Dan. Now, we didn't have no money, we was living in a bed sit together with rats and... We had this studio, well, you couldn't call it a studio, it was a PC with Cubase, basically, and a mic, and, you know, the coat hanger with the tight over proper ghetto, bro. Yeah, we had no money, like, obviously, I was on road, and we was out pushing this mixtape, Dem or Us Gotham Chronicles, Volume 1, 2008 it was, so we was out selling CDs, anyway, met Crazy, he's all fugged out, bald-headed, Bristol Rovers socks pulled right up to his knees, like looking fucked out. And he was, oh, you two should rap each other, clash. So we started rapping each other, verse. And no one wanted to sort of back down. Next thing you know, there's a crowd of people around us. Do you know what I mean? Like literally 50 odd people. And it's no one's giving in. We were just going bars for bars for bars for ages. And it was like, oh shit, well, safe. Yeah, maybe she should. Make some music together. And I went up to his house in Kingswood with some of C-Double's beats. We were going to do a tune and that turned into an album. I got signed by Sumo Records for some other stuff I was doing. They said, oh, what are you doing? Who are you working with? I'm like, Crazy. So we showed them our album. We'll put that out. They're all over it. So they released our album for us. That was our first official release.
So I remember when you were dropping out because we did that thing. Remember Mikey put that thing on down... by the college?
Yeah, I'd come down and done something there.
Yeah,
didn't I?
Yeah, because you were doing your Sumo record stuff then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, and I don't know, they put too much money into Dr. Mika and their album sold 6 copies and the plug got pulled and I got a phone call saying, we've gone bankrupt, there's no more, the taps shit, got running, man. So no more taxis to studio and pizzas and whatever else we used to get out of them on a regular basis. It was all fun. They did spend a lot of money on us, and it was like, what are we going to do with the material? And they were like, you can have it, and we don't really want it. We were just sort of using you as an excuse to put out our own music, do you know what I mean? Doing whatever wacky stuff they had us doing. Some of it was all right, but some of it was a bit cheesy, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, anyway.
So that got shelved then?
Yeah, that got shelved. Cold World's still out there, but we're re-releasing it. See, I think we have the rights to all that music, so we're re-releasing it on WordLife because we still haven't got any of the money from the original release.
Yeah.
It's probably sold quite a lot, do you know what I mean? So I will hunt that money down one day, but it won't be today. But now we've got, we're re-releasing Cold World, 10th anniversary tour, involved with Mind That Music, going up to Liverpool to do a boxing event at the end of this month. Crazy's birthday at the end of this month.
Big
up,
sorry, for Mind That Music as well. Who you would have seen on episode three.
So yeah, there's loads happening at the moment. So me and Crazy are looking to go back out on tour and do this Cold World re-release thing, put on a vinyl, like your lovely one up there.
Because I know that you guys are rehearsing hard at the moment, innit?
Yeah, we've been doing rehearsals, which is a strange thing for me because I haven't done it for 10 years. We did all of this stuff 10 years ago, and it's like going back to that and rehearsing again and getting to know the person you're rapping with, and I know you guys have done all that as well. It's long, but it's got to be done.
I find it harder now. Like, and it's again, you look back on life and you think, I wish I did more of it then.
Yeah.
Because you know when kids come around and then people are working, they got careers, and it's like finding the time.
Organisation.
It's like going to your missus, you're like, I got to go rehearse tonight. And it's like, well, how many times are rehearsing in a week? You're already doing like a live stream every 2 weeks. When am I going to get my Fridays?
Where's Dale having a date night? Oh, I made you a nice dinner. Getting abused from all sides for trying to do what you need to be doing.
Yeah, so it's like, why aren't you turned up again? And then your missus is like, why aren't you here? And it's like, oh.
Yeah, you know that. You're late thinking you got a chick and that. I'm really just in love with hip hop and that. You know what
It's put on, man.
Yeah, that's going all right, man. Definitely.
Yeah.
I think by the end of this month, we're going to be patterned and I'm going to be, you know.
Because you've got Wicked Man Sagas coming out as well,
right? I've got this new EP with Donnie Bravo, Wicked Man Sagas, which he's just a bit of an...
Who did the artwork for that, by the way?
Sai does all my artwork. Sai does basically everything for me.
Because that the artwork on that work, have you seen it?
No, what is it?
It says he's got like the wallet.
Is it the brown thing?
Wicked Man Sagas on my Insta, I believe. But yeah, man, Sai does everything apart from rap for me, basically. He's a fucking hero, that guy. So.
Yeah.
You know, he's doing a lot. He's just got his premises, isn't he, up in Liverpool, so I know he's putting a lot of time into that. And
he sent me a video of the premises. And Brendan, who's like, he was on the other week, he's like our number one listener, basically, or watcher. And
okay.
He said we should do the second episode with Sai in Liverpool once he's got his place set up and show everyone around the place. And I said, that's a brilliant idea. So I reached out to Sai and he was like, yeah, on. Like, do you know what I mean? So then he has got the place all up and running.
I also think, I know we probably shouldn't talk about it on the podcast, but we should go out there and do a in someone's kitchen and maybe try and drag some Liverpool rappers in, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
If any of you Liverpool rappers out there want to come to a cypher with us lot in Liverpool, get in touch. Do you know what I mean?
Because I did a video shoot yesterday with Gentuk. Popped along to see Noodles, and then Noodles come along for the ride as well, and then we ended up randomly making a track at my
tracking a video all in one
and these Polish guys, man, so big up Gentuk and his crew, man. But they
I was feeling the vibe yesterday, man.
Again, hip hop global, I know the Polish, they're fucking on there.
They love the graph, they love the rap, don't they? All of it, man.
Yeah, because you and Gentil were talking about it, because I know he was saying he hadn't done much graph when he come here. And it was good, because like when you were there, I was like, oh fuck, like paths have just crossed, and it's just amazing how when people get put in places and then you're just like, you should fucking link up with this guy because you do this.
Together, networking.
Yeah, because he hasn't done any graph since he's been here.
Right, obviously, okay.
Because he's coming, he doesn't know any, and we don't want to fucking spray on something in the org, get into issues like in that kind of world.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know what he's talking about. Yeah. I know he knows what he's talking about, though, from just talking to him straight away. I was like, this kid will be up some stuff. He wants to do trains and that, so we can talk about that.
Big up Gentle, man.
Yes, bruv. It was good. And Polish Donnies.
Yeah, because that was the first time I met him as well, man.
Yeah, right. I thought he was all properly met him, obviously just online or whatever. But they just had a lot of energy, I felt, and I just really just sort of caught buzz off them. Really
positive
buzz.
Yeah.
And it's nice that music's still bringing that in life, you get me?
I think with the whole fucking COVID thing and that, I think more so than ever.
What, people want it again?
Yeah, do you mean they want that?
Well, they're allowed out. They want to go out and do the bits.
Yeah, and people like, how ingrained in society, like, fucking music is, no matter what genre you're into.
Yeah, for real.
You know, people like going to these events, they like fucking meeting up with people and watching music and
shooting
catching
videos,
a vibe.
And doing all of that. Yeah, man, being involved.
From consumer to creator, like, all of it.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
we crave that fucking togetherness, and music is that thing that fucking brings that.
100%.
Yeah, and the fucking, but yeah, it's right, where am I going from there? Fuck knows.
Like falling asleep, or yeah?
Nah, it's good. Because yeah, I mean, it's like, I've never like fucking sat there with you before.
No.
And like said, to tell me this about you, because like, yeah. No,
in like an interview, that's what I mean. It's like
everything anyway. I didn't know you were a skater.
But there's always like, little things you pick up. It's like, oh yeah, so it's like, because Demo Russ, like the what happened with that then? And like, because were you with crazy with Crudely Cut?
I sort of fell out with everyone basically because I bottled drills. I put drills in hospital. I split his head open with a glass bottle over a minor disagreement and some money.
Yeah.
Now everyone, Noodles is a bad guy. And 5 years later, it's like, kill drills.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, told you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's one of them. So now everyone don't like him and I'm back in the good books and everyone's like, oh, you know, whatever, man. It's just all old nonsense. But yeah, so that was, I was Demo Russ. I was part of Demo Russ and me and Crazy done an album. We got signed to Sumo. So I started moving more with Crazy. Then drills, I bought drills and he was my hype man. And then I bust his head over some stuff and he ended up and then become Crazy in drills and then they did loads of stuff and then they've fallen out and then, you know, so 10 years later.
Because Demo Russ expanded a bit as well, because I know
Confusion. So started with me, D and Maka Dan. And Maka got ill and moved to London. He's always had like mental health problems on and off. And when he's good, he's good. When he's bad, he's bad. Yeah. And he's a very paranoid person. And he just sort of ghosted off and let us carry on the ting. And then obviously when I sort of flipped off with Crazy, then D started working more with Matt, that kid. Big up Matt. And then he's got on to Split Profits. And then D is now doing, what do they call themselves, with Blanca from Split Profits, I can't even remember their name.
Dead weight.
So it's all gone, everyone's gone. But like, so there is no, unfortunately, I'm sad to say, and I'd love to see some of it re-released, there is no real Demo Russ material coming out again, you know what I mean? I don't think. Matt's still repping Demo Russ, and I still say Demo Russ, I still rep Demo Russ, because for me, that's in my heart, that's like an original crew that I was part of and founded, you know, so, but if someone says, oh, you know, there ain't going to be no Demo Russ shows or anything like that, which is sad, but, you know, I would love to see some.
But it's a part of, like, history, isn't it?
Sometimes crew stems to another crew, and from Demo Russ has come Split Profits.
It's like
YMP,
Country
weight,
Cartel, and
the rest of it. It's like a tree.
Because then it was like, what was it? It was 2014, because I went and met Bailey's Brown. He reached out to me, he's like, I went and met him for a coffee on Stokes Croft. And he was like, yeah, do you want to come on Crudely Cut? Like, him and Crazy were reviving Crudely Cut at the time.
Oh, it didn't really happen, did it?
No, I think
why he fell out, maybe, is it? I don't know.
Then, like, I went over there and met with them, and it was like, yeah, cool. And then did, like, a few shows. And then, like, after that, it was 2015, Carvel was born. Then, like, fucking released the thing with Dead TBSE.
That was a good tape, man.
Yeah, but put that in with on
Crudely
Cut.
Where is that, man? I want a copy of
that.
There's a tape there.
Mate, I think I've got like a handful of tapes at home. I'll fucking bring one up. But yeah, with that, then I kind of fucking went on like a 4 year of like, fuck this, like fucking still doing stuff, but just like completely remove myself from my all online activities and shit. I'm doing a project with Bailey's Brown now.
You said that yesterday. That's dope.
So yeah, maybe fucking have to jump on whatever.
I'll jump on whatever, man. I'm sure
we'll have to get him on the podcast as well.
Yeah,
yeah, he's an interesting fella to talk to.
Yeah,
because the different styles that guy can fuck with.
You heard an EP he's just dropped.
I saw a little trailer thing for it.
I seen like some weird like neon one, and it was like all like kind of electro.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Sick, bruv.
He's a talented guy. I watched him start that, you know what I mean, from Using Reason to now what he's doing.
So it is.
Well, he's just dropped a new EP.
It's
called An EP.
Okay.
It's called Annie. There's the cover there.
You're going to have to blank that out.
Diego Paradona, as he calls himself.
So he's got like, it's like,
is it just beats?
I've only heard that one track. No, it's not. It's got that Mary Lister, and it's like R&B.
Oh, sick. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sure, afterwards. I don't think I'll fucking play it on there, not, especially not on Spotify.
Yeah,
man.
No, ooh, they kill us off.
Yeah.
Cancels.
Cancel culture's got.
Damn.
Do you know what? The episode that we were talking with Costa, we went like, was it the one with Costa we went? Yeah, it was. We went to like COVID vaccines and ivermectin. I was thinking, oh, fuck me. Blank night.
Like, yeah, on YouTube got, they will,
yeah, they
got
be in their bonnet about anyone talking about
that name. But I did say that I was vaccinated, so that might weigh things up.
YouTube got this thing at the moment. They're like the platform that silences people for talking about this cheap drug that is basically a cure for COVID. And because of profits.
We're doing it again, by the way.
Not going down that rabbit hole.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I won't be having that vaccine, no chance.
Yeah.
Unless they tell me I can't go on holiday, then I might be swayed. But
my auntie did that. she goes, well, I'm fucking going on holiday. And it's that'd be how it happened. So like, to force everyone to do it, you just start saying,
it's the two-tier society, mate. That's what I was worried about. I was like, if they stop you from going groceries, stop you from working, stop you from being able to live your life
until you've had this thing,
until you've had it, and then you get all the people that are like, I'm not getting vaccinated, going, shit, I better get vaccinated.
Yeah.
How long are you going to be waiting for a vaccine? How long can you live for without having access to everything? Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Sorry, well, it depends on the sort of person you are.
You could do me groceries for me, mate.
Yeah, that's true.
Depends on the sort of person.
But then
it'd
be like, oh, you're not allowed to mix with them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's
you
like,
can't hang around with them lot because
those unvaccinated heathens.
It's madness, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
crazy, bro.
But again, it's fucking mental how like profits are put over fucking people, isn't it? That's what it is.
For people's profit, which I don't understand. It's people that are doing this to people. What are you doing? It's craziness, isn't it?
Mad things.
The greed and evil, you know what I mean? That's behind it. It's like, who are you feeding?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
I do think though there's like, now there's like, although I do say, I think it's going to get worse.
Who's giving the orders?
But I think it's going to get better. I'm optimistic. I never used to be optimistic.
Mm.
And I was always like, no, it's all fucked. We're all going to be fucking wiped out in fucking 10 years.
That's probably because you've got kids now and you have to have that optimism.
Probably.
Yeah, that's do you know what I mean? Your mind does like, change on them things when you're children.
But I think like in the meantime, I think it's going to get a fucking lot worse.
Mm.
Generally, everything.
Yeah, yeah. Before it has better. To. It always does, doesn't it? Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, illnesses and all sorts of shit. Like,
if I didn't have children, I'd be gone from this country, I think. Do you know what I mean?
We were talking earlier about now how like if you can make money online and do things, or like what Nico did, like go around traveling, write a book, whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you've got that option to like not have to be remote and go to a place of work.
Yeah, that's the aim, man. That's the dream, isn't it?
And you don't need, especially if you're living in a country where you don't need as much money.
You don't
need all these things. It's like learning to like. Don't you live below your means, man. You know, if you're in a country where you can afford to feed yourself, feed your family, fucking.
Just give me some fruit and sea and sand and I'm nice.
Yeah. You know that,
Yeah, man. Yeah, trust me. Yeah.
How are we doing for time?
Give me a caravan, a couple of dogs, and we find our son.
Because they're making that hard as well. Like,
I know they are. Travelling thing, I know, mate. They're hitting travelling community pretty hard.
It's mad, because my missus was looking at the, because we're going to get another van.
Mm.
And she's like, at some point, she was saying, like, now, not even just the travellers who, like, live on that lifestyle, but, like, people now who've got vans, like, if you want to go just fucking, like, stop somewhere for the night, like, it's like, they've now put, like, signs of this. You can get this app now, and it's like, whatever fucking, like, people who go camping and shit, they've got
that's
an app.
That's what I need for wild camping and that.
Yeah, so they basically give you the spots, they tell you where they've been, and they mark the GPS and all that, so you can go here with, like, minimum fucking disruption and shit.
In Wales and Scotland, it's a lot easier to do it than it is in England, because obviously English people are like, that's my land, we own this. Wales and Scotland is a little bit, because I was going to go Snowdon in it tomorrow, but weather shit, I ain't climbing a mountain to look at rain.
No.
But we were going to do that, we were just going to wild camp up there.
I bet some beautiful spots. Have you been to, because you're Irish descendant, innit? Do you go a lot?
I haven't been for a couple of years, obviously, but I used to go out there every summer, do you know what I mean? My grandparents had a house out in Kilmarnock near Limerick, which has just been sold now, sadly, but like you can trace my family back there from like 13 something.
Yeah, a house.
Yeah, that's that house mad. And that graveyard all around that small area. It's like a tiny village on the edge of Limerick. And my family's been there for generations and generations and generations.
That's cool, yeah. Man.
It's a nice thing to have to be able to, you know, and be able to show my son and daughter, like, look, mum, that's where you come from.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? Yeah, that's. Because we were, I don't know what episode it was Costa again, wasn't it? We were talking about the book that I just finished reading, Ending Hunger, and then I was talking about the Irish famine. He goes into it in the book.
Yeah.
Of how that stemmed and how, like, now the seeds now of the modern GMO, the reason that they don't want GMOs is not because it's harmful. It's the EU doing the same thing as what the British did, or what the English did to the Irish then, by not allowing them the wheat, because they basically were growing potatoes and the potatoes got wiped out and it caused mass famine and death and that. And they were saying it was all political. It's all political. Probably. It's not. You know what I mean?
Well, I think the British were fighting a war, weren't they? So they were taking the potatoes from Ireland to feed the soldiers.
Well, because down in the south, they were saying they only had small plots.
Yeah,
so all theirs got wiped out. So they could only grow potatoes. Right. Yeah. They couldn't grow wheat there. Right. They were saying any of the wheat that was being grown further up in Ireland was being shipped to the shipped over to England.
So everyone starved.
So they were like, no, we need the wheat, we're fighting a war. And like, fucking, yeah. And that's where you got, like, now with the roots of the Irish and fucking New York and I mean, they were like, fuck this, we're out. You know what I mean?
It's a deep story, man.
Yeah.
That's fucked, man.
I've never ventured. The only time I've been is when we went Dublin.
Yeah, that's Dublin's the only time that I've been.
Yeah. Fun.
We went.
Sweet's expensive.
Everything's expensive. We went Jaeger. I was like, can I have four Jaeger bombs, please? Yeah. It was like €38.
Yeah.
Do you want a bum meal?
We went to watch Eminem, right? And it was at Sling Castle, which is like, it's like this castle that's not in Dublin, it's like a little out, and the grounds are fucking beautiful.
Yeah, grounds, beautiful.
Beautiful,
man.
Like old castle, and like it was like a mini festival, even though it was an Eminem concert. Like, you had Odd Future, Tyler the Creator did a set.
Plan B.
You had all the Slaughterhouse. So it was like a full day, but like in there, they had like Heineken were the only beers you could buy. You couldn't take drinking.
Nah.
Had to get it all in there, and like the Heineken, it was like €10 per fucking pint.
Yeah, absolutely ridiculous, bro. No doubt about that.
We had a crew of Irish people.
We met.
There was about 200 of us.
What was his name? Was that Wayne Cooney?
Wayne Cooney. He was part of the gang, wasn't he?
Yeah,
he was the leader of the gang.
He went to jail
for stabbing a copper,
like when he was young.
Yeah, young.
Yeah. And he just got out, and they were. He was the boy. And
we just got around fighting police.
They were still young.
Yeah.
They were like, because we were what?
20s.
We were like late 20s on me, probably early 30s. How long ago was it? More than 5 years ago.
Was it?
Kyrell wasn't born, mate. And Kyrell was six.
Like, I thought we were like 28-ish. Maybe
so
even
they
younger.
Would have been like 19.
Yeah.
I mean, like
18, 19.
And this one
kid. They
loved us, man. Yeah.
Yeah, they were safe as fuck.
There's that ginger guy as well, kept on walking past going, "Oh, Joe Budden, you're so fucking predictable, smoking your LMD on stage."
because Joe Budden's lit up a cigarette on stage and he was smoking it. And this fucking, this Irish guy, he was like, "Fuck, you come over," he was just taking a piss out. He's like, "Look at him. You think you're so fucking hard, don't you, Joey? You're so fucking hard on stage with a cigarette. Look at you. Look at me. I'm Joe Budden."
Guess what he's going to do next? Pump it up.
Hey, it's fucking joke.
Yeah, it was jokes.
Yeah, we
man.
Should go one day, boys. Definitely. You can take you to anywhere, mate.
Yeah, man.
Time, though, good. Do you know what I mean?
Because I spoke to Sean about it as well.
Yeah, he was. He's his Northern Ireland, didn't
he? No. They're like.
I thought he was.
Nah, they're like. They're not Northern Ireland. They're like proper, like. Yeah, nah.
I thought he was like.
They're proper southerners, mate.
Yeah. Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Like, because I remember being in a bar in Benidorm, and it was an Irish bar, and I spoke to the burpee in the bar, and she was like proper, like pro-union. She was fucking like Northern Ireland, fucking,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right.
Loyalist.
Yeah. But then you speak to like someone from the south, they're like fucking.
Yeah, two totally different people, you know, mate. Two totally different kettles of fish, right there.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Yeah, because when Sean, we picked Sean up from the airport when he came back after the lockdown.
Mm.
And like, we were driving back, and he was just looking at all the trees, and I was like, "Bro, what are you looking?" He's like, "Mate, I haven't seen a tree for like 6 months." I was like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "Where I am, there's just sea and rocks." He's like, "There's no like trees. There's nothing."
Yeah.
I was like, "What?" He's like, "No trees, bruv."
Yeah, that's madness.
Mad.
You don't get a lot of trees by the coast, though, do you? Do you know what I mean?
they're always like
wonky like this. Because if you ever buy like fucking plants or like hedging and shit, because I remember I planted a load of fucking holly bushes down the bottom of my garden.
Mm.
And I was looking at it and they were saying like, if you look on when you're looking them up, they always say like, are they fucking wind resistant in like coast? Because there's certain bushes and plants you just can't grow by the coast.
Right. Yeah.
So if you live by the coast, they're like, yeah, no, don't plant that.
Well, everything's a lot more like, I don't know, like harsh. In it, yeah. So it's like when you walk through the dunes and that, it's like everything's like all scratchy and hard. Nothing's like soft. Mm. No soft foliage.
Yeah,
true.
We're going down the coast this weekend. Actually,
oh
yeah, going to Cornwall.
Come on, jealous, mate. To be honest,
yeah, I wouldn't mind going away.
Yeah,
I might go away on Thursday, man, somewhere.
Well, we're going for a little exposition in August, aren't we?
Yeah. Will you go down now, Cornwall? You'll probably be up for that. Come down.
Yeah.
When?
August the what?
I've got like, I don't know, end of, second half of August.
I don't know
just
if I can
do
that.
Two,
what
three day.
Well, you,
I've got, man. I've got from the 6th till, I've got the 6th, I've got a week off from the 6th to the, whatever the next week is.
Is August busy for you? Have you got students down at the club?
No, they're coming back for the, for graduation, I think. So that is next week when the clubs reopen. So next Sunday, we're opening.
And you can open proper then, innit?
Yeah. We're doing a thing like on the Sunday night.
Well, he hasn't actually said yet, has he?
Nah.
But
it's looking like it's going to happen.
But like, see yesterday, when we seen all those football fans, so like it was...
Oh, yeah, it was Cardiff City. Yeah, because I was thinking, you're young hooligans. I was thinking, that ain't Bath, mate, because he's recognised
you. My missus was in town and she's a support worker.
Right.
One of the guys she was supporting, like looking after that day, went to town and like one of the fucking the football guys, he said he was like trying to get him to do some symbol and like he wasn't obviously special needs, you fucking clearly see that. And he's like, fucking dickhead. My missus said she wanted to fucking strangle the guy, like, Joanne's like fucking
what because he had a
because he wouldn't do the thing, like he was trying to get him to do it,
yeah,
and like he wouldn't do it, obviously he fucking didn't know what he's on about.
We could tell the vibe, you saw in the car, I was there when I was good, Bob out the window like.
I didn't think that they were allowed fans in fucking groups.
Yeah.
Well, they obviously are now.
You're allowed up to 30 people outside.
What, in a group?
In one group, yeah.
So you'd have to have like sections of 30.
Well, no one hangs out in groups of 30 anyway, really.
But it's like, all of the guidelines and that have gone.
I mean.
Yeah, all them guidelines are gone. Like, it makes it easier though, because it's like, do you know what I mean? Like, if there's groups of 30 people outside,
yeah,
that means pretty much you can just put people wherever you want them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I suppose.
And then 19th, then so the only thing left really is the fucking clubs.
Yeah. Well, we're open, isn't it? The club's open, but it's a sit down thing. So on the Sunday, it's going to be seated.
Like that,
and then at 12 o'clock, all the tables will just get lifted out and taken away, and everyone can stand up and fucking dance. Stop. I need to speak to Costa because I want to film it, innit? Because it's pretty monumental, man.
29th. So at the moment, 29th of July. So at the moment, it's a man them, innit? Like everyone on the flyer, and obviously you lot, and you know, people who have been involved with us a lot over and crazy over the past year or so. But what he's open for is Boris is going to give us all the thumbs up, and then he's got like, 10 days to sell 400 tickets or whatever it is, so because you can get that many people in there. And I was like, I think you can actually do it, mate, because everyone is going to go there, and all the best rappers in Bristol, including myself, are on there. So you know what I mean. So there's going to be a lot of people who are
going to. So anyway, when's this going out?
What this
pod?
Work it out.
It won't be. 20? It won't be then.
We'll have done Crazy's birthday by the time this is out.
Unless we swap it around.
Yeah, I can't remember what this was. I was going to say to anyone here, if you're local and the restrictions are lifted and the club's open, fucking go check it out. Where's it to?
Dare to Club. It is in St. Philip's in Bristol, the old sex club. We're making enough money off sex, so we started selling it, renting it out to musicians and everything. So.
Where was the one that Sean did a set? Where's the one that he said he went there and done like some mad like techno set at some sex club? That might be the one.
There's
then,
probably Dare to Club. Yeah, they've still got all the dungeon stuff in there and all of that. Like the
nice,
like a cross with like things. If you
dominate,
of that stuff, man. And there's a coffin in there for people who are into dead stuff.
Necrophilia.
So it is me, right? Last time I'm in there, it is me with me, mate. Lend the coffin, take a photo. I whacked it straight on Facebook and and bare dickheads are thinking, oh, Noodles is dead. Shut up.
You're dead wrong.
I'm dead, posting photos of myself, selfies of my own coffin and that. Pass Lender out all at peace with myself.
Late to my own funeral again.
You know what I mean? Yeah, one of them. But a couple of people did bite, man. They're, oh my god, if we thought something happened to you, so why don't we fucking
mate, that's like when he fucking, I went on holiday and then him and Brendan spread a rumour on Facebook that I died. Yeah. So when I come back, and this was like before Wi-Fi, come back, gone onto Facebook, and I've got like 180 notifications. I'm like,
I bet you thought that was me, well funny.
I was like, what, is this gal or something?
That's bad.
Mate, clicked on it, was like, oh, rest in peace. I was like, oh, I'm not fucking we'll dead.
No, the best one was like Ben Newman, when Uncle Phil died from Fresh Prince. Yeah?
Yeah.
I put up a status like saying, rest in peace, fucking Ben Newman. But I put
a picture of Uncle Phil.
Because he looks like him, he's all dead. And fucking like the amount of comments that I was going like, that's not fucking funny. Like being like people like are obviously ready.
Yeah,
like,
he used
Ben
to do
died,
some
like,
fucked like, up oh, shit man. To be fair. Yeah. And the comments on my Facebook about my sister and
Yeah.
Oh,
I've calmed down, man. Let's get his kids in it.
Man's grown up now.
Yeah, you can't be so fucking ragged with what you're throwing out. You start to be more conscious about what you're saying. It's like, yeah. But like at home, like as well, like for my missus forever saying to me, she's always like the one, she's little ears are listening. Like,
oh,
like,
yeah.
Constantly reminding me.
No, it is true, though. It is true.
Because, yeah, it's hard, man. You don't when you're comfortable, you just fucking start
say
saying
whatever,
what
innit?
Like, yeah. Showing,
yeah, my mouth's got me in trouble with my baby mum a few times, man. Do you know what I mean? Where my son's gone back and said, Daddy said this or Daddy did this.
Yeah, and they don't like, kids do like, but they don't like, do you mean like,
no,
they don't say anything, they just take it in.
Yeah, or but like when they come out and stuff, like, you do
they don't mean
it's
to
not
mean
they're like, it's like they'll you're going to get the card hold truth from the child.
They don't mean to grass you up sometimes, but they just do because they're like, they're talking about what they've just seen, do you know what I mean? Yeah. So,
and then it's the same thing, it's like, because we rang at the school to like fucking, we took him out to Legoland for his birthday back in May. And I rang the school and I said, fucking, he's not coming in. We're going to Legoland for his birthday. But you got to leave an automated, it's an answer form to report absence. Mm. So taking him out of school, taking him to Legoland for his birthday. And like, I didn't want to do it. So I was going to ring up and say he's sick when he's not.
Yeah.
Because I was like, that's just fucking ingraining in him to like fucking
lie.
Shit. Yeah. So I was like, all right, I'll do it the proper way. And like the answer for a message I got back from the fucking school was like, this is, we're very disappointed. It's an unauthorized. I was just like, fucking fuck off.
Yeah.
It's like, he's well, fucking fine. I'm taking him out for a day.
Yeah, five.
You're taking him out for a day and he
just
wasn't.
I just said it. I just said, fucking, I'm taking him out. He's going to Legoland. It's his birthday.
Well, fuck the school then, man.
It is, mate. We've got a lot of trouble with the fucking school system at the moment, man. My missus hates it. She's fucking constantly saying, nah, homeschool, want to homeschool, want to homeschool.
That's a complicated situation.
It is. And it's like,
you're better off getting someone to homeschool than.
Well, you do. You would get someone to come, like, but again, it's like, how much is it going to cost?
It's going to be expensive.
Because you're going to have to then pay for like, because you'd want him to go to these clubs and stuff. Because you don't want him being like a hermit. You want him to be social. But then you've also got to like be like, I know she was saying like they've got groups. They do put Odd Down. They do like a football club on one day where all the homeschool people come together and
play football.
The kids. She said there are things going on. And like the more she's researching, the more it's starting to sound appealing. But it's just, you don't want them. You don't want to do it and be like regretting years to come where your kid's like proper socially awkward and because they haven't. But then you don't want to like carry on and think, what if? I did, and they just gone through school.
I've got a mate whose son, I won't say who it is, but like I've got a friend whose son is like 11, 12 years old, and they recently moved to Bath last year or a year before. Put him into school, and like she doesn't let him watch TV or have a computer or any of that. He's got to read books and or listen to the radio or, you know, and all of those things. And in effect, they're good things, but to teach a child, but when you put a child in a secondary school situation and they don't know what Instagram is or what's on the telly or anything like that, all the other kids, he's getting terrorised because he don't know anything about what's on TV or, you know, and I just feel really bad for the kids.
It's hard to balance, I guess.
Well, it's like, I remember we had an English teacher, remember Miss Baker?
And yeah, she yeah. fucking one day she told the class, she was like, her children, again, her children weren't allowed to watch TV, they only reading that.
Mm.
And then like being like a kid, you're like, what the fuck? That's mental.
Yeah.
Like what kind of yeah. fucking like cruel bitch are you? Like, yeah. you know what I mean? But like we do it, we try and set timers and shit. So it's like, yeah, you go on it, you can fucking play on it, but like you ain't fucking sitting on it all day.
All day turning into a zombie. Yeah. Dopamine addict.
It is. And like through the lockdown, it really fucking that started to happen.
Yeah, I bet.
This one, because it was winter.
Yeah.
No way you could go. Like you could only go outside for so long. Like, yeah. All the places like soft play and shit was shut.
Yeah.
There's only so many fucking activities you can do before it's like, well, all right, go on then. Back on the fucking TV, back on the iPad, like, do you know what I mean?
I remember I just went out on Night Watch, I think. I just went and seen my mate Dan Jury, and he's on the other side of town. So I took a dog, I left my house about 1 o'clock in the morning. This is the beginning of the first lockdown.
Mm.
I thought, I wonder how many vehicles I'm going to... I did not see one vehicle from this side of Bath to the other side of the city.
Mm.
I think I saw a Sainsbury's delivery lorry in the distance, like on the horizon. Not a sat, everything was just...
The first lockdown one was spooky. Because we were like... The weather was nice and we were out. Fuck, we went and got out. Was when we went and got chickens and shit, you know what I mean? Which they got eaten the other night, innit? Jack Russell got in.
Jack Russell got in.
Like I said to my missus, I was like, I wouldn't have been so pissed off if it was a fox, because it's natural. A fox is going to come and hunt.
Yeah,
so someone else fox has got his food. Well, it's a bad thing, but okay, whatever. But that's some fucker's dog who's fucking like, well, what are you doing? Why's your dog fucking roaming around? Like,
should've shot it, man.
Why's your dog running around a block killing a chicken?
But yeah, like, because we were in the garden on that first lockdown and the helicopter kept coming over, innit?
Yeah, you were saying about that. That's mad.
There's always a helicopter going over your block, mate.
Yes, what I mean. Like, in that time, because like, they could do it and they kept monitoring. And what it was obviously kids fucking still doing it. And like, that first lockdown, it was like proper like, no, you can't fucking see anyone, touch anyone. You're all going to die and shit, I mean? Yeah. But obviously the kids are still fucking like...
Doing whatever.
Mingling, doing what they're doing. So the helicopter was always above our house. And I'd look at it and I'd be like, this
right is... next to the big park where all the kids go. Yeah, I was looking, I was like...
This is dystopian as fuck.
Yeah.
This
is
weird. Yeah. The helicopter's out there. It's like, stay in your house, citizens. Stay in your house.
Yeah, well, be that, man.
Yeah, it was weird, man.
Scary world.
But that first one, like, as well, it was, like, also, like...
It was the unknown, I think. Yeah, no, it was. It was the unknown sun as well, wasn't it?
And
it was great weather.
The weather was nice. I mean, we were going on and, good, like, just doing shit with the family. Yeah. It was just, like... But then, like, if I say that, then you've also got someone somewhere, some poor fucker sat in a flat with no fucking friends or family. Like, doing their nutting.
Yeah.
Like, do you mean not going anywhere? I haven't got the luxury of having a garden to fucking go out in or fucking, do you mean?
No,
You're being like fucking police, like, why are you in the park? You're not allowed out. It's like, what the fuck? Like, do you mean? Because there was at one point, they were saying that, innit? They were like turning up and like turning people away from fucking.
Yeah, they were.
Of course they were.
Yeah. You can't sit here with a coffee.
Yeah, do you mean? It's like,
what? You need to go back to your house.
Sat down. It only gets you if you stood up.
Yeah.
A lot of it's about them testing their powers as well, innit? And seeing what they can and can't get away with. Do you know what I mean? So bun Babylon.
And that's a do you know what it is? And it's like, it goes to show how far they can push it. And it's like,
yeah.
And how
they've just passed that bill, haven't they? Did they pass it?
What one?
The
criminal to the new one.
Yeah.
What, the can't strike or the can't?
And the other one. The fucking protest and all that shit and the fucking travelling.
They passed it. Do you know if they passed the one on striking? Because that's the new one that's going through. So they've just put it through. So they've now made it. So for companies like train companies or whoever who provide a service, you're not allowed to strike and the whole company's not allowed to fucking go on strike. You have to provide a minimum service and it's against the law if you don't. So if you don't have X amount of people staying to work to do the job,
Then the company's breaking the law.
You could be criminally prosecuted for
what, you as a person?
Yeah,
or the union?
I mean, you. Because, like, they wouldn't...
So if you strike...
As workers' rights, and you're all like, fuck it, we're not coming in.
Yeah.
They can prosecute
Like,
you.
Yeah, because we're prosecuting the company. The people who are striking ain't going to give a fuck.
Get me out of this country,
they'd be like, mate. They'd be like, go on, prosecute them, fucking good. Like, or, like... Prosecuting the union, like, people are still going to be like, nah.
Mm. Mate, this is insane what they're trying to push through these days.
Yeah.
So my peaceful protest track did no good. That's the bottom line,
isn't it?
Big up GG for coming on there.
We spoke about that on the pilot episode, wasn't it?
Yeah, okay.
It was about the protest.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
and I did say it was about that.
And we spoke about
when
that
you dropped
tune.
that track. And that was when that happened.
Well, we was in a studio across the road and there's a riot going on. So it was like, well, should we go get involved in the riot or should we make a song about it? So we just laid the track down, you know what I mean?
I think a lot of it
felt we did our bit, you know what I mean? Yeah. So try.
Because that's it. It's like a lot of people, you see some of these people turning up to fucking riots and shit. And
yeah.
They're not fucking activists. They've got no fucking. They don't believe it. They don't. And it's like. It numbs.
They just want anarchy, don't they?
It numbs the effect, though.
Oh, of course it does.
Do you know what I mean?
2012, we got stuck writing in the St. Paul's riots, man. The first ones and the Tesco ones. I got a good couple of evenings out, they were. Yeah.
Boycott Tesco's.
That was pretty regular.
How are we doing for time, Costa?
5 minutes.
5 minutes cool. Left.
Do you want to do the one's got to go? Let's do one's got to go.
Yeah, we can do what you want, mate.
Jest or skinny man? One's got to go.
Jest. Get him on. Big up skinny, that's what.
Rap or rap for you personally to be able to do. One's got to go.
Rap, I've had enough of it, man. 20 years is enough, so I'll keep the graph.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rum or whiskey?
Oh, well, the rum can go, man. I'm a whiskey man, I always will be, you know what I mean?
Rice or noodles?
I don't even eat rice anyway, really. The only thing I use rice for is trying to inoculate mushrooms, so, you know, it's, so it is, man.
Yeah. And this is a random one. Noel Edmonds or Jeremy Beadle?
What can go? Noel, yeah. He's a divvy. Bring back fucking Jeremy Beadle.
Jeremy Beadle's
a G. We said earlier, fucking before you come on, it's like, I said I met Noel Edmonds, like I was fucking when I used to work on Ticket Barry.
Yeah.
Mm. And he come through and he had this big ticket.
He's a div.
Right? Yeah, and like, you obviously don't go for the thing. So I was like, sorry, Noel. No deal. And me and my mate Patrick were fucking pissed. Like, mate, the guy, he stood there and did not even blink with the most blanket expression and just fucking stared at me. Like, you.
Like, oh. Yeah, and he did the same
he
to
did
me.
The
and
same to Roscoe at Asda and put a full.
He's like, have you got OK Magazine? I was like, no, sorry, no. No deal. And he did exactly the same thing, just stared at me like.
Get your job lost. What? Oh, nah, yeah. I've heard he's a bit of an arsehole and a womanizer. So
but then think how many times that's happened to him.
Yeah.
Like, all like,
day. Like,
I know a lot of people have said, like, when the cameras aren't rolling on Deal or No Deal,
he's a cock.
He's an absolute fucking belter.
He looks like one. Do you know what I mean?
I've heard this.
So.
Yeah, they say he's a belter. The final question, which we forgot to ask Nico, was what is your personal meaning of life?
My personal meaning of life, don't know, get through the next day.
Yeah,
get through to the next day.
Nico, boss, you're still here, even though this is a week later, you're still here. What is your personal meaning of life?
Just have fun, man. You're only here once.
Yeah, my man.
Short and sweet and fucking make the most of it.
The pad's going to be uninhabitable in about 20 years, so, you know, might as well make the most of it.
Complete the level and get through to the next day for me.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Sick.
All right,
ladies and gentlemen, that was new. Anything you want to plug?
Boom.
Yeah.
Word Life Records, Wicked Man Sagas, Noodles, new EP.
Is when
any minute. Don't know.
You're not
by
date on it?
Not yet.
All right. And you can check out already now Babylon Pressure.
Babylon Pressure is on YouTube, Spotify, check all of that.
Yes.
Instagram, the links. If you're listening on Spotify, page. You can just flick over to it now after you've listened. If you're watching on YouTube, you can check the links below in the description box.
Yeah, man.
And go have a listen.
Yes, boys.
Episode 15, was that?
That was 14.
Episode 14, big up Noodles.
Big up Noodles.
Yeah, man. See.